From the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, the environment, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse.
WCVE Public Radio. Certified financial planner Brian Ford joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for his weekly analysis of the business and financial news. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Wayne. How are you feeling?
Just fine. Thank you. Well, I'm sure you've been watching a lot of the Olympics from London,
yeah,
including the big opening ceremony. But let's try to find a little business news analogy or metaphor in it. Do you have some medal contenders to report to us?
We certainly do, Wayne. I like you. I watch the ceremonies and a lot of the events. It got me thinking about all sorts of things pertaining to business and investors, such as, you know, persevering against the odds, monitoring other nations' activities, and your prospects for success going up and down all the time, much like investors are going through these days.
Mm-hmm.
But this week we do have a strong lineup of medal contenders to watch. The ISM report will tell us about the manufacturing sector. The retail sales report will tell us more about the consumer's buying habits. And the always controversial jobs report on Friday we'll be watching. There's also, Wayne, going to be a Federal Reserve meeting this week, which no doubt will consider the very weak second quarter GDP numbers that we got last week, which is only 1.5%. Some analysts believe that the Fed will wait, really, until their September meeting before launching any new stimulus programs, which everyone is now calling QE3, which is not named for Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, okay.
Though there have been, I think, plenty more than three attempts to jumpstart the economy lately.
Yeah. Well, I saw a headline over the weekend, stocks continue to defy investors' sour mood. What's going on Wall Street?
Yeah, that was an interesting factor last week. The really question is, what caused the huge move up in stocks at the end of last week? Stocks across Asia, Europe, and the U.S. were up in lockstep. It's pretty simple, really. You want to talk about a gold medal winner. The ECB President Mario Draghi made a comment that the ECB, which stands for the European Central Bank, that's the equivalent of our Federal Reserve,
mm-hmm,
will do, quote, whatever it takes to save the euro amidst the ongoing debt crisis in Europe. That was a powerful statement. What he means by that is buying the distressed bonds of Spain, Italy, and others in the open market to keep their interest rates from getting too high. Now, Germany doesn't like that thought, but clearly those words ignited investor enthusiasm like a starter's gun at the Olympics. There was tremendous covering of short trades. A short trade, Wayne, is when you bet that something's going to go down, but then you reverse your position and it goes up. And this has been happening about every 4 to 6 weeks, it seems like, when a European leader tries to boost spirits. So come out with a comment like this. Wayne, the takeaway is this. The average rally from these sorts of comments has really lasted only about 3 days. So let's see what happens next. As Faulkner said, is it all sound and fury signifying nothing? The other takeaway is just how much we are held hostage by what governments and central banks say or don't say. There's a lot of cash waiting to pounce these days. I wouldn't expect much more soon from EU leaders because they're going to begin their August break this week. You know, debt crisis or none.
Well, where are investors putting their money these days?
Well, that is a good question. And I saw a report last week. A lot of their money for investors is still uninvested, meaning it's sitting in cash or checking accounts or money market accounts. But with rates near zero, investors feel like they have to put it somewhere to get some kind of dividend. The Investment Company Institute is a trade group. They monitor flows into and out of mutual funds, which remain a very popular place for individuals and professionals, too. Surprisingly to some, there was a net inflow of money into stock funds last month. That's the first time since the drop in May. But the money flow into bond funds beat that by a factor of 10 to 1. Wayne, that means for every dollar that goes into a mutual fund today, about 90% is still going into taxable and tax-free bond funds. Why? Well, simple, really. Even though bonds appear very pricey, there's no shocker here. Investors still say they want this because they want some dividend yield and what they perceive as safety. The same ratio applies to the growing market for exchange-traded funds. But what does this mean? People always want to know where the smart money is going, Wayne. I don't know if these are smart moves, but I can tell you this, that investors of all sizes are reducing their stock allocation more so than any time since the crisis began in 2008.
I have just a little over a minute to go. Well, earnings season continues, and some of the big tech companies have been reporting. Some other headlines I've seen, Facebook flop, referring to Facebook's IPO. Microsoft apparently still doing very well. And Apple, you were telling me they had a huge quarter, but still less than expected, yet doing very well.
Yeah, a lot of key things out last week. As you mentioned, first and foremost, Facebook had its first earnings report since going public in May, and their revenue and earnings were essentially in line with what Wall Street had expected, but their costs are rising, and they gave zero guidance as to what they think the next few quarters holds. That's not a good sign. That drove Facebook stock down about 10% at the end of the week, now down about 40% from their IPO price. Microsoft came out with earnings and income that rose nicely, but they booked a big write-down because their online division has been terrible. The company has big plans for its new Windows 8 coming out this October, which should boost their performance. Apple did get a lot of attention, didn't meet expectations, but yet their earnings were up 20%, revenue up 22%. Wayne, they had $35 billion in revenue for their quarter. They also instituted a new 3% dividend, which makes their stock somewhat more attractive. Basically, people think that some buyers are holding out, waiting for the new iPhone 5 coming out soon.
Okay. Thanks to Brian Ford at RBC.